Now it's time to get the latest from the quarterback of the pack, Aaron Rodgers. It's Tuesdays with Aaron. Here's your host, Jason Wilde.
Boom, 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 boom.
It is the Aaron Rodgers show. He got the day off from his other job. Not really. We'll talk about that in a minute. But we can't give him a day off here. Aaron, how are you today?
Doing good, Jay. Thank you.
Inactive for the regular season finale. How did you feel about that?
Well, I felt like it was Mike's decision to sit down myself and Clay and Charles. And, that kind of been the feeling all week. I was excited for Matt and his opportunity. Obviously you want to be out there with your guys, but you got to realize, what's probably best for the team.
Obviously you're a competitive guy. You want to stay sharp. I think we're looking at, because you didn't play 20 days between playing on Christmas night and playing in the playoff game, which will be January 15th.
Not worried about it.
You managed to do okay without any off-season workouts. So there's people that wonder about that. I mean, is there anything that you have to do extra when you go that long without playing in a game?
I think you just have to make sure you stay up on your conditioning. But no, I'm not worried about that. I think being able to rest over any worry about potential rust is the smartest way to go. So I like the ability to rest. We got the bye. We're hosting a playoff game at Lambeau in the potential inclement weather conditions, which I think we handle pretty well. I'm not worried about any type of layoff like that affecting our performance.
We will we'll talk about your side job, because since we won't have an inside the helmet, we'll have a inside the headset. This doesn't happen very often. You obviously were inactive for the December 19th game last year in New England because of the post-concussion protocols. How many games have you missed in your life? High school, Butte, Cal, when you've been the starting quarterback, and what do you do with yourself?
Zero.
So that had to be a challenge for you. What do you do with yourself on the sideline when you're not playing offensive coordinator? I mean, is it just a weird deal for you to be not actually playing, or did it take you back to your backup days, or what?
Well, I mean, it felt like a preseason game, to be honest, because there's been a couple preseason games where he's held me out and I haven't played. When you're healthy, it's tough to not be on the field. There's been a few times I haven't been healthy, and then there's been 3 years where I was a backup, and that's a different mindset where you don't have a chance to be on the field, and you're probably not going to play. But when you're healthy and you're inactive, we got 7 to 8 guys every week who go through that. So on the inactive list, and probably at least 4 or 5 are healthy. So it's a different feeling, and I know what those guys are going through. It's tough. You want to be on the field, but at the same time, you got to trust the decision of your authority, and trust in the best interest of the team, which I think it is.
Did you know fairly early on that you weren't going to get to play, or did that kind of evolve during the course of the week?
Yeah, I kind of evolved during the course of the week. We talked about early on about not playing a bunch, and that Matt was going to get a chance to play a good amount, and then it kind of turned into, just not going to play at all.
When you watched Matt do what he did, you've talked before about how you felt about the New England game. You felt like a proud older brother. You're also competitive. You probably would have liked to have thrown 6 touchdowns yourself. You would have gotten yourself the touchdown record if you had. Just kind of give us your scouting report on your friend and your backup.
Well, like I told Matt, it was a little bittersweet. sweet in the fact that I felt like a big brother watching him. And I, you know, I felt the same way when he played against New England. Him and I are very close, and it's fun to watch him go out there and do the things that, that we both know that he can do. It's been, you know, a great working relationship, and I've gotten to see him grow as a player, as a leader, as a quarterback, and he has a lot of respect from the guys on this team. You know, I don't think you expect 480 yards and 6 touchdowns out of Matt in that situation, in that conditions, but he played excellent, so I'm really proud of him. The bitter part of it, the sad part of it was being close to him and getting to work with him for 4 years. You can't help but acknowledge that a performance like that has to get the attention of the league. And as you know, we've talked, you know, wondering how many teams are going to be out there as potential suitors. I think a couple more just might have opened up and realized, not only is this guy going to be available, but he's better than the guy we got, who we think we like. So, you know, I get slightly offended, and I'm sure Matt does as well, for anyone to call either of us system quarterbacks, because I think more than anything, what Matt's performance showed is that he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now. It's not about the system. You saw the throws on the field. It wasn't like he was thinking and dunking. You know, he threw a little screen pass and went 80. Other than that, he was making some big time throws. So you got to say right now that Matt is, you know, is in that that upper echelon of quarterbacks in the league. And I'm just, you know, I'm really happy he's going to get an opportunity probably.
So I guess I can cross off system QB on my list of topics. You did hear that.
That, in my opinion, has a very, very negative connotation. And to me, evokes an images of game managers who really can't make all the plays, who just kind of are, you know, are in a system where they can just do enough to win and not turn the ball over. You know, and it also, you know, brings to mind ideas of, you know, the Mike Shanahan running back theory, where he kind of believed he'd plug anybody behind that zone blocking scheme and that line, and they're going to be effective. This offense is not one that you just, you know, that you just plug a guy in and hope he makes some plays. You know, you saw the throws he made. I mean, he made throws down the sidelines. He made throws up the field. He made accurate throws over the middle. This offense, it takes, you know, a keen understanding of what you're trying to do, but you got to be an accurate thrower of the football. And you don't throw 5 touchdowns 1 week and 6 the next with 2 different quarterbacks and say that that's a system. That was 2 pretty dang good quarterback performances to do that.
So
and
there's
an excellent one on Sunday.
There's no guarantee that had there been another game that didn't matter for the playoffs that and you'd started Graham Harrell, he wouldn't have thrown 7 touchdowns then in the progression.
He's a gunslinger. I don't know.
It would have been like Texas Tech all over again. The other thing I wanted to ask you, and we talked a little bit about the MVP for the first time last week. One of the other things that kind of bothered me was, and not because we do a radio show, but because I think it's a little bit ill-informed, was this idea that Matt playing as well as he did would hurt your most valuable player chances. Now, Peter King has come out, said his vote has been cast for one Aaron Rodgers. Chris Mortensen has come out and said the same thing. Those are two guys that I really respect as a reporter. When you, I know you're not focused on that. We won't find out now. The ballots are already in. We won't find out now until Super Bowl week if you, in fact, won. But do you think that that should have any bearing, that you have a good backup and that the team might have had success, maybe not the same amount of success, but had success had you gotten hurt and he would have been the starter?
I don't really see how that comes into play when you're talking about a most valuable player vote. You know, I think the way that we've gone about it and the games that we've won, I don't think you can say in any way that we tried to, you know, get late points or late yards or late touchdowns. Just look at the look at the film. I'm not sure if that's the case for every team in the league.
As I told a friend of mine, I said, I didn't even, and this is a reflection of how well I know the league, apparently, I didn't know who Drew Brees' backup was until I looked it up. I didn't know it was Chase Daniel. I don't know how well Chase Daniel would have played had he gotten a chance to play. Maybe he would have put up some good numbers, too. So you talked about the bye week. You talked about the importance of you resting and the other guys that didn't play in the last game. After what you guys went through last year to win a Super Bowl, what's it like to feel like you're going to have every guy, other than the guys that are on injured reserve, which is really three somewhat significant contributors, to have every guy healthy for the playoff run?
Well, that'd be great. It really would. You know, it's nice having Chad back. Obviously, with JerMichael not being a part of what we did last year, and Ryan Grant, those are two big contributors. But to have most of the guys who went through that run together, I think really just helps us from a mental standpoint as we approach these games, knowing the how the pressure picks up, the attention picks up. It's a different feel. We're hosting the playoff games now and not going to hostile environments, so that plays a role in it. But I think it, from a mental, just the mental side, we've been here before. We know how to win these big games. We've done it, and now it's time to continue that. That being said, I think everyone is a little bit surprised by some of the comments of how we're not the team to beat in the NFC anymore. So there's always stuff like that that can be used as motivation by some of our guys, and keep talking negatively about us, and that'll just give us something to prove.
How do you use that? I feel like I'm sitting with one of Jordan was really good with that. Not that I don't mean to compare you to Jordan.
No, please don't. Please don't.
Your Jumpman sweatshirt on today. But how do you use that to your advantage? Because you are pretty darn good at putting the chip on the shoulder type material to good use.
Well, I think you just have to consider the source first. That's always important to not get too riled up about it. But, I just think it's just a small motivation. It's not... anywhere near the majority of some of the things that motivate me. But, I always find it fascinating to think about some of the people ripping us and consider, like I said, consider the source and where it's coming from. And, we've had, a great season so far, and we still have work to do. And I think it's interesting that some people might not remember some of the victories along the way. And the way we've played. So we might have to remind some of those people.
We talked about health. What was it like to have Cliffy back at left tackle? And I know you've said very nice things about Marshall on this show. I think we agree that he's been pretty important to your success this season. But Mike McCarthy has made the decision that he's going back to Chad for the playoff games. What was it like to be back on the field with him? And how do you feel about having him back protecting your blind side?
Yeah, it's good having Chad back. Chad's a great player. He's done a lot of great things. He's protected me really well from my time starting. It's been great having Marshall in there. As I told him, beginning of the season, I don't know if everybody was on board with the potential of him being the future left tackle. Probably wasn't many people thinking about that, but it's a credit to him and the way he's played that after a 16-game season in which he played a number of those games at not only left tackle but right tackle, I think a lot of people, myself included, feel real good about the prospects of him being the left tackle of the future moving forward. So I think that's a big compliment for Marshall, because I think he's really come a long way. He has the demeanor, the feet, the athleticism to be a solid left tackle in this league for a long time. So really proud of him, the progress he's made. Chad is going to be the guy. But if he, if he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing, or if he's not feeling great, then we're very confident in Marshall.
One more thing before we reach halftime. I asked all the coordinators this. You know, you guys go out, you win the Super Bowl last year, you're the best team in the league, you're the hottest team in the league to end the year. How are you guys a better team in 2011 than you were in 2010? You scored the second most points in NFL history. How are you better offensively than you were a year ago?
I think we're just a more consistent offense. You know, it helps when you don't turn the ball over, and then your situational offense is pretty solid. You know, we have offensive goals as far as where we want to finish with our red zone stats, with our third down stats, turn the football over. And we hit most of those marks. We did a good job on third downs. I think we finished in the top five there. We did a good job in the red zone. Last check, I think we were second. Greg, with his consistency, JerMichael back in the mix. You know, and then when you're making good decisions at the quarterback position, you should be scoring some points. So, you know, we have a defense that can take the ball away. They did a number of times this year. And then we have, you know, a special teams that is much improved as well. So I think you got to give a lot of credit to the additions of a guy like Randall Cobb. And then obviously with Jordy and his performance, those two guys especially have really made a big difference over last year.
Last thing, you mentioned Jordy. What was it like to watch him from the sideline? You obviously see him at the receiving end of most of your passes. Was it a different perspective to see him and see how good he is?
I mean, it was incredible. It was really incredible. If you think about his three touchdown catches, one was a little now route on the line of scrimmage on the backside of a run, and he stiff arms a guy down and scores. Second one is an offsides play where when that ball was thrown, he's about 5 yards behind a defender and he catches up, uses his body, makes the catch and somehow stays in bounds. That was incredible. And the third one is a ball that when he caught it on his back hip, it looked like the defender had his hands on it as well. And he's incredible. He's had an incredible season. Couldn't happen to a better guy. Anybody who knows Jordy, he's just a great guy, a great teammate. He cares about being successful, you know, and you have to be self-motivated in this league. A lot of people want to be successful, but a lot of people don't put the time in their study, in their preparation, making sure they're on the same page with the quarterback. And it's, you know, it's been great to have him out there. I know you know, Matt was glad that he was playing for him as well on Sunday. So I'm really happy for Jordy in his season.
When we come back, we'll go inside the headsets. We'll also look ahead to the open week in advance of the Packers' January 15th playoff game. And we'll get to your Ask Aaron questions. You are listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show. Back with you on the Aaron Rodgers Show, and we'll go inside the headsets. I know you wanted to play, but I have to admit, as someone who, I wasn't watching the game on television since I was seven floors up watching it, so I had a lot of people inform me of the sideline shots that Fox had of you with your headset and your play card. Explain to me what was going on. You have a real future as an offensive coordinator, apparently.
I don't know about that. I mean, maybe the high school level. I'm not interested in coaching above the high school level. But no, it was fun to be able to be a part of some of the play calling. In different situations, you know, Matt and I had talked about a number of things that he liked and he wanted to see called, or he was comfortable if they were called. So, you know, made some suggestions to him, made some actual calls into him. And, you know, it takes a decent play call and then good execution.
Any good coach would say that it takes good execution. What? How does it? Can you give us at least a? I don't even want to give away too many trade secrets, but can you give us at least a glimpse into how that works? Like when you're in no huddle, how long do you actually have either on your end as a player when you're out there and it's in your ear, or as an offensive coordinator from the sideline, how long are you able to talk to the quarterback in the helmet there?
Well, the headset's live until 15 seconds on the play clock.
Even if you're at the line of scrimmage or not?
Right, which is a blessing and a curse at times. anybody who plays a position or play calls knows, you know, sometimes you want to say stuff all the way to the end, or, you know, you want to have a dialogue at times as well. You know, I think in general, I tried to to treat the headset kind of as I enjoy it. You know, it's when the play is being called into me. So try, you know, less is more with Matt, and he's got a good grasp of the offense. So it wasn't like there was anything, you know, mind bending that I did or said to him. But you know, just wanted to make sure he felt comfortable with some of the stuff that was coming in, and he was able to get us in the right formations and sets and motions if needed. So I thought Matt handled the game really well, and I wasn't a natural in my abilities there in the first half, but you know, it was a fun little experience.
What did you do with yourself the second half then? Because you only did it the first half?
Just a lot of sulking. no, you know, it was fun. I was in the game. I was standing next to Matt or Graham and Tom the whole game, so I was making sure I was into the game. You know, I mean, I was excited to watch Matt, and plus it was an exciting game. I mean, it was pretty back and forth, so just stayed in the game and made sure I was helping out any way I could when Matt came off on the side. We looked at the pictures, but you know, I love Tom. Really sets a good blueprint for how to handle quarterbacks. I think on game day, he's such a less is more guy, and so you know, it wouldn't do any good for me jumping in there trying to say something to Matt. Not that he needed any of my help on Sunday, which was pretty obvious, but. But you know, it's fun to be able to help out a little bit and just to watch Matt really make it look easy.
You sure you don't want to be a coach? You did such a great job there of deferring any of the credit to your player. That's a good sign of a good coach. Or you're sure you don't want to change your mind?
I would like to coach. Yes, high school.
Okay. Well, I'm anxious to head back to.
That's where the young men are still impressionable in high school.
It's too late once they get to the NFL. They are who they are.
Yeah, they are who they thought we were. They were.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Well played. Well, that's inside the headset for this week. I look forward to the next time you play so we can talk about actual plays. But that was fun to do. Let's look ahead to the open week, and then we'll get to your Ask Aaron questions. We got 7 good ones for you. How are you approaching this week, because you don't have a game on Sunday, you'll practice. You practice Wednesday, you practice Thursday, and then you've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to rest and maybe watch games on TV. What's your plan for the week?
Well, my plan is to get some good mental rest. Physically, I gotta keep my conditioning up, so I'm gonna make sure I do that. But I think this is a good week to really get mentally refreshed. It's a grind. We've played 20 games already, counting the 4 preseason games. You know, it's a grind. So this is a good week to get your body back, but to make sure you're doing the right things. You're staying on top of the workouts and the conditioning and the way you're eating. But, yeah, mentally this will be a nice break for me.
You talk about mentally. Can you give us a glimpse into what that kind of means? I mean, I think a lot of times people don't realize how intelligent you have to be to play this game and the amount of study that goes in and everything else. So it's kind of like getting winter break in college where you don't have to spend as much time studying and you can shut down your brain a little bit, or what does that mean?
Well, I went to the number one public school in the country. So I don't know anything about that winter break stuff, but I know, you know, Madison's trying to be the Berkeley of the Midwest, but what were we saying? The mental break. It's more than just the studying. It's the thinking about the game. It's the pressure you put on yourself to perform well. It's all those things, and just kind of letting your brain relax, not thinking about those things when you're lying in bed, not having to visualize different plays you want to make in the game. Just a total mental brain relax for this week. So I think all of us are excited about it. It's a new thing. We haven't done this in my 4 years. I've been fortunate enough to be the starter. So we're excited about hosting a home playoff game and getting this nice week off.
That visualization thing, have you done that for a long time?
Mm-hmm.
Since
a coach of mine, when I was in fifth grade playing baseball, living up in Portland, Oregon, used to talk about that a lot, and helped us learn how to practice that, and just something I've always used.
You did that before the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and you did it play out in your mind the way it played out in the game?
I think it's always a little bit sweeter in your mind. You maybe don't make any bad throws in your mind, but that's kind of what you want to do, that positive reinforcement. That helps you when you get in those situations because you can immediately think about a positive play in your mind.
Let's get to Ask Aaron. If you have a question for Aaron Rodgers, you can send it via Twitter with the hashtag Ask Aaron. First one comes from John. Will you watch Wild Card Weekend more as a fan or as a quasi-scouting experience for the game the following week?
Well, both. I think, I'm definitely a football fan and enjoy watching the game, enjoy watching people I know around the league. So, it's going to be the NFC games will be more the quasi-scouting. But we've played all three of the teams we could potentially play. We played the Lions twice. We played the Giants, and we played the Falcons. So we're going to have a good idea of what to expect playing those teams. But, it'll be fun to watch the games as well.
This one comes from Kelly. How do you adjust your game in the cold weather?
I just think you have to be a little more aware of how the ball is reacting to your hand. You have to get a good feeling for, the consistency of the field as well, how your footing is, because, throwing, you throw from the ground up. So you want to make sure that you're, able to get your cleats in the ground, figure out what the best footing is going to be. And then when it comes to throwing, you got to have a good feeling for how that ball is reacting, to your hand, to your fingers. Is it slicker? Do you have to adjust your grip? Making sure your hands are warm to get that extra dexterity in your fingers. All that stuff kind of combined is stuff you have to think about, and then you just have to go out and play.
This one comes from Adam. What discussions have you had with Jordan about being the guy at Vanderbilt heading into the offseason? Now, you weren't able to make it to his bowl game, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Suffered a hip injury in the game and then came out, didn't go back in. They ended up losing mm-hmm. after he went out. Did you talk to him after that game? We've talked about Jordan all season on here. How's he doing?
Yeah, he was very disappointed, obviously. Didn't play as well as he wanted to, and then he was injured. So I know that's frustrating for him, but I know he's looking forward to an off season there where he can feel healthy. Last off season, he was dealing with his shoulder injury and wasn't really able to go through any of the spring ball stuff. So to have a whole year in the offense with obviously Coach Franklin's system and showing those guys what he can do and what he can add to the offense. Obviously, you saw a lot of it when he was inserted there as a starter in Game 7. Their offense just about doubled in yards per game. He brought a lot of energy to that offense and scrambling ability and really running ability. They ran a number of QB powers and quarterback draws and whatnot, and he did a good job with that. So he's excited about the prospects of the coming season. He loves Nashville, loves his teammates, loves the coaching staff and their energy, and there's a lot of excitement down there at Vandy.
You talked about feeling like an older brother when Matt was playing. You hoping that Jordan can make the required jump as a senior to make it up to this level?
Oh, without a doubt. I know that's something that he wants, and he's got a great work ethic and really really deeply desires to be successful and to take on the challenge of making the NFL. So, he's going to have a good year next year and, get an invite to the combine and play well. But he's playing in, as difficult as it is for me to say, he's playing in the best college football conference in the country. The SEC, they've had the champion, BCS champ. This will be, I think, fifth or sixth year, maybe. So
they actually play defense in that conference.
They do. So every year they're playing Alabama and LSU, and it'll be a good test for them. But on college football, this just caught my eye here. Oregon beats Wisconsin last night. I believe you went to Wisconsin.
I did.
And you're wearing an Oregon sweatshirt and hat.
It was very cold outside today. I had to wear something that would keep me warm.
Mm-hmm.
I also need to see our friend Andy down in the locker room because I promised him I would wear Badger clothes if Wisconsin won. Now I have to go get some Oregon gear and give it to our friend Andy because he's got to wear it.
Okay.
As you're familiar with that happening from a USC game.
Yeah.
This one comes from Brandon. Will you please convince Matt Flynn to stay a Packer?
Not going to happen, I don't think. You know, going into the game, I think we maybe had a 50-50 shot. Now, I don't know if we have any shot. So, you know, it's always good if you can have a couple good quarterbacks on the roster just in case something happens to the starter. But, I think myself and the staff and the guys on the team would love to see Matt get an opportunity to play and be a starter. You know, it's a different feeling, like I told Matt. It's a different feel when you're the starter. There's more demands. There's more expectations, more pressure. But I think he's ready to meet all those expectations and exceed them and really step into his role as a star in this league. So that being said, next man up is Graham. So I think Graham Harrell is going to have a great offseason going through, some modified quarterback school. I think it's going to really help him. And I think he has the potential, just like Matt, I think he has starter potential. So give him a couple years as a backup and going through some preseason stuff, and I think you're going to see a guy who has a ton of potential and ability. Really, his skills grow each year.
And in 2013, Ted can draft Jordan Rodgers, and it can be like Carson Palmer and his brother were in Cincinnati.
Yeah, we'll see about it.
Nicholas, I know you're a music fan. What was your favorite record of 2011?
That's tough.
It's funny. It's so weird to say record or album because mm-hmm. you just don't think in those terms. I mean, you're a CD generation guy. I had tapes when I was a kid, but the Make. How did the Make do this year?
Yeah, they did pretty good. We did pretty good. I probably should say the Make, right?
Well, you don't have to.
Well, it was a darn good record. CD.
And a darn good video.
Good
too.
Music video as well. So yeah, I'll say the Make. There was a lot of great music though, no doubt about it.
All right, two more. This one comes from Marcus, and I've never asked you this. It's a good question. How did you decide on number 12? And would you have chosen number 8, which you wore at Cal, if Longwell wasn't on the roster at the time?
I think I probably would have gone with double digits either way. I wanted to, switch it up. I was 12 in high school, and then obviously 8 at Cal. Got here, and Longwell asked me if I wanted to buy his jersey. I said, no.
Cal guy, always trying to make a buck.
Yeah. I was like, I'll just go with something else. So I think the options were like 12. 16, 19, and 16 and 19 were Joe Montana numbers, so I was like, And I said, I'm just going to go with, it was 12, 15, 19, that's what it was. I think Craig was 16.
No, it can't
16.
Be 15. Wasn't that Bart Starr's number? They weren't going to give
it. No,
it 15.
Wasn't 15. Then. Maybe it was 16. 17.
17.
Yeah, but I went with 12 either way. So.
Okay. And the last one comes from Kay. Is it true there is a new State Farm commercial being filmed, and this time with a couple of co-stars?
I don't know if I'm allowed. There's probably some confidentiality agreement that I would violate if I were to agree that that's a true statement.
You sound like McCarthy about whether or not you're going to play on Sunday or not.
Look for a new State Farm commercial coming soon.
Does it? Have you seen the script?
Yes. It's good.
You like it?
I like it.
Is it as funny as the first one? Because the
it has the potential. It has the potential.
All depends on the acting.
It does depend on the acting.
Well, we are all anxious to see.
There's a couple of us, grizzled vets going to be out there acting and a couple newbies, so we'll see what happens. This isn't a Fathead commercial, so we got to step it up.
Wow. Okay. That should give everyone a hint on who might or might not be starring in this, or at least co-starring in this ad. Next week, we will look ahead. Your opponent for the playoffs will be set. Packers open up playoff action on January 15th in the divisional round. At home, they will play the lowest remaining seed in the NFC. That means the fourth, fifth, or sixth seed, depending on how the wild card weekend goes. You're too smart to say if you're rooting for anyone that you'd like to face, but interesting that you'll get either Atlanta, Detroit, or the Giants again. Three teams that you've already played. Is that good, or is that...
I mentioned that already, if you were listening.
I probably wasn't paying attention.
I think, you know...
I kind of tuned you out. And,
yeah, I mean, that's what happens. You know, you play... And you usually play a repeat team in a playoff. Last year we played Atlanta again.
Philly again.
And then the Bears again. So,
yeah.
You know, we had a pretty good season. We beat some teams that made the playoffs.
Did you really say that? Did I totally miss you saying that already? Wow. Well, that's quality radio right there. So next week we will look ahead to whatever that repeat team is, and I'll try and pay better attention. You have been listening to the Aaron Rodgers Show.